We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show. Named Best Radio Show in the Wisconsin Broadcasters Awards for Excellence. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Welcome. How are we looking? Bill Michaels Show on the air. We are glad you are on board. Thanks so much for taking a listen to us. We certainly appreciate it. This portion of the program being brought to you by our good friends at Bud Light. Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. I told you before that I'd let you know about some music coming up and about a charitable event coming up. Coming up a week from this Wednesday, which is May 30th, we are going to have Wednesday Night Live out at the Wisconsin State Fair Park in the Budweiser Pavilion. So hopefully you can make it. But one of the biggest things going on that night is my charity is going to be there, and that is St. Ben's Community Meal. Now, St. Ben's Community Meal is going to be there because we're going to be raising awareness for what's upcoming. And what is upcoming is none other than our annual run walk, which is coming up Friday night, June 15th. We open up Polish Fest down at the Summerfest grounds, and we encourage you to go to polishfest.com. That's polishfest.com. You can find the information there and get signed up and registered. It's a run. It's a walk. It's all officially chip timed if you're a runner. And this year they change a few things. Timing has changed a little bit. We send the runners off first and then the walkers and then the runners. We kind of get everybody out there and to make sure that there's no crisscrossing or anything like that of the two groups. So we're going to be doing a 50-50 out at the Wednesday Night Live coming up on the 30th. And that is going to be St. Ben's Community Meal. And then also raising awareness for that Friday night, June 15th, for the run walk. And all the proceeds, all the money, everything goes to feeding the hungry in the city of Milwaukee and the surrounding area. So if you can come out and join us, please feel free to do so. And it's all brought to you by our good friends over at Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Getting back to it, and we were talking some Brewers baseball in the first hour. I want to get back into this here in the second hour. You got some Brewers on this team that are just getting the job done. I mean, for lack of a better term, they're just getting it done. You've got some unknowns. You've got some unsungs. Whatever it is, whatever adjective you want to throw behind it at this point, this Brewers squad's been pretty impressive, and it's been exciting to watch. My question to you is simply right now, if you had to pick, I don't even want to say an underappreciated. We can just say, haters getting now talk, not only in our own backyard, but haters getting talk of being maybe an MVP or a Cy Young for the first half of the season, that type of thing. When you look at what's going on right now with this ball club, Josh Hader's been fantastic. But Jeremy Jeffress has been fantastic as well, in case you haven't noticed. Josh Hader pitched in the Minnesota game the other night, earned his second win of the season. It was 2 1/3 scoreless innings again. He's unscored upon in 12 of 16 appearances this season. Has 56 strikeouts in 27 1/3 innings. I mean, you can just keep going on and on and on. Has 10 appearances of at least a couple of innings this season. Meanwhile, Jeremy Jeffress unscored upon in 23 of his 24 appearances this year, including each of his last 20 outings. 19 1/3 innings. Think about that. 19 1/3 innings, hasn't given up a run. 23 of 24 appearances, hasn't given up a run. Dan Jennings has been good, and then you can't wait to get Corey Knebel fully back and kind of locked in. The guy that did struggle over the weekend, as I mentioned before, Boone Logan, didn't have the best of games yesterday. But those two guys, you get Corey Knebel back and throwing BBs in the ninth, between Hayter Jeffress and Corey Knebel, you're not scoring on this team once this team gets to the seventh inning. It's just leading after seven innings, they are 22-0. They've been that good. It's just, it's phenomenal what this bullpen has been able to do. Just get, now, Hader's been valuable because Hader can go a couple of innings for you. So you only really need to get to the sixth if you're a starter because Hader's been that good. Jeffries has been that good. So if you're going to talk about unsungs, those are the two guys that have been oh so good. 855-830-8648 on the loansbykip.com, toll-free talk line, 855-830-8648. Give us a shout. Those are some of, I mean, those are the numbers. Those are your stats of the day right there. Brought to you by our friends at Aproyo. Go to APPROYO.com. That's APPROYO.com. Implementing SAP in big data solutions to companies just like yours, where they can help you out, take all your information, give it back to you, and make your business bigger, better, stronger, better. That type of thing from Aproyo. Go to APPROYO.com, see if they can help you out. So now they come back home. They take on the Arizona Diamondbacks. You get Zach Greinke again, by the way, who is 3-2, 3.46 ERA. Chase Anderson going to the hill, 3-3 with a 3.97 ERA coming into tonight's contest. Kind of an ugly, rainy, blech night down at the ballpark. This is where you say, thank God Miller Park is domed. You know what I mean? But you talk about some of the underappreciated Brewers on this team. 855-830-8648. Give us a shout. You know the other aspect of all of this, and this is where I go back to some of the comments that were on Twitter a little while ago. For those of you that said, you know, well, this team's good in spite of, and then you kind of got a list, okay, in spite of Ryan Braun not playing, which, by the way, like I said last week, if Ryan Braun has to go on the DL and just go away for a while and get healthy, that's fine. This team's not really missing anything. What you want to do is get Ryan Braun healthy and get him smoking the ball again, 270 or better. That's when you're going to be a benefit. That's when you're going to see a benefit out of Ryan Braun. The other question I have is, what for those that are down on Craig Counsell, tell me why. Because I don't see it. I mean, every manager gets questioned in the way they use the bullpen. Because if it works, you're a genius. You're brilliant. If it doesn't, you're an idiot. Okay? Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. More often than not this year, the right buttons have been pushed. So my question is, why? Why would you be down at all? Right now, where this team is, where they ended up last year, they weren't supposed to be in the race. They weren't supposed to be even in the hunt. And this team right now is leading the division a game and a half up. And they were leading for quite a bit of last season, right down the wire. Why in the world would you be down right now on the managerial side of things? And in reality, I mean, you know, Joe Maddon means a lot to the Chicago Cubs. Tony La Russa meant a lot to the St. Louis Cardinals. Joe Torre meant a lot to the New York Yankees, okay? Go back in the day. Tommy Lasorda meant a lot to the L.A. Dodgers. Sparky Anderson meant a lot to the Tigers, meant a lot to the Reds. Jack McKeon meant a lot to the Florida Marlins when they won the championship. But managers, I mean, for the most part, managers will say, I can make a difference in 3 to 5 games. Otherwise, it's right me writing the lineups and the guys in the right place, the right time to be successful, and the guys make the plays. So why in the world would you be so down? You know what I mean? Let's go to Daniel listening to us in Toma. Daniel, welcome to the program, The Bill Michaels Show. What's going on?
How you doing? I think I'm excited about the Brewers. For some reason this year I've watched almost every game. I've been going out of my way to watch the games. And I just think the pitching is what's keeping them in the game. I told you beginning of the season I thought the pitching was decent. We didn't have to go get a big arm. But, you know, and then the hitting is coming around like they were saying the other day. I thought this trip right here, we did really good on hitting. Maybe it'll help. For some reason our average is down this year compared to last year, don't you think?
Yeah, I would. I look at it this way in the sense, I appreciate the phone call. The batting average is down. The pitching has been better. Last year, they were averaging over 4 runs a game. Remember, early on last season, you had Eric Thames that was on that tear going through April and May. And then things kind of slowed down. They were scoring runs. Sogard was good near the top of the lineup. Braun was good near the top of the lineup. Travis Shaw was having an incredible start to the season. Eric Thames, he was going yard almost every other at bat. So They got off to a fast start offensively, and then things cooled off, and they couldn't get any hits after the All-Star break. The offense just went completely south. I don't think that's going to be the case this year. They've got more bats, more depth on this team and in this lineup. So I don't think that's going to be the case, to be perfectly honest with you. I think this team is going to be okay. But yes, they got off to a very fast start last year, and yes, average-wise, they're down. Because, I said, look, if this team averages 4.3 runs per game, which is kind of that key number, just get over 4 runs a game on average, you're going to win a lot of ball games. And for a while there, they were averaging 3.5 runs a ball game, and it wasn't going to get it done.
This has been a pretty solid performance from the Brewer offense on this road trip.
Yeah,
and Bill, if you look back at this 10-game stretch here for the Crew, in the games that they lost, the offense wasn't there, but the team that beat them didn't really put up a whole bunch of runs either. I mean, you look at the losses here, the one loss they had against the Rockies, they lost 4-0. You look at the one loss they had against the Diamondbacks, it was 2-1. And then the loss yesterday against the Twins was 3-1. And then you look at the games where they won on this road trip. They put up 5 runs against the Rockies in Game 1. In Game 2, they put up 11 runs. Game 4 against the Rockies, they put up 7 runs. Game 1 against the Diamondbacks, they put up 7 runs. Game 3 against the Diamondbacks, 8 runs. And then 8 runs again against the Twins in Game 1. And 5 runs against the Twins in Game 2.
855-830-8648. When they hit the ball, they're going to win. They've got enough pitching to sustain. And for everybody who says that they have to go out and get another. The only time people say you have to get another starter is when they lose a game 2-1. That's when people come out of the woodwork going, you got to trade for a frontline guy who's only going to make an impact once every 5 days. Yes, for Jacob, who just emails, why don't we go out and get Machado? The Machado thing is very tempting, but you got to be able to afford him to keep him controllable. This team is not about giving up young arms or young assets for a guy that's not going to be controllable at the end of the season. If this was next year and you believe that all the pieces were there and one guy was going to make the difference, you could probably do it. But you're not going to do that right now. That's not what this team wants to do. That's not what the franchise wants to do. David Stearns wants, if you're going to get a guy, you want a guy that's controllable for at least a couple of years. That's what they're looking for. Or if Machado would do a sign-and-trade, maybe in something like that, they would go ahead and say, okay, we would be interested. But Machado's not going to do that. He's going to hit the free agent market. He's going to get $100 million just because he's just that damn good. It's going to be interesting because he's going to be out there. Bryce Harper's going to be out there. Arms are going to be out there. There's going to be $1 billion worth of contracts thrown around this upcoming offseason. And he's going to want to capitalize on that. The Brewers just aren't going to be in that mix. So as much as I want to say, yeah, make a move and get the bat and just become this offensive juggernaut behind what has been a stellar bullpen, it's not going to happen for the Milwaukee Brewers. 855-830-8648. Give me your thoughts regarding the Brewers. And if you're not a – give me your thoughts on Craig Counsell as the manager. Okay, positive or negative? I was looking for the negatives, but the negatives only come out when the Brewers lose, and there was a couple yesterday that I went back and forth with, and now they're nowhere to be found. Give me your thoughts on the management. Give me your thoughts on what's going on managerial-wise with this Milwaukee Brewers team as well. More of the Bill Michaels Show next.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
If my friends ask where you are, I'm gonna say
she went down in an airplane, flying, getting suntan, been in a cement mixer full of quicksand. Help me, help me, I'm no good at goodbye.
Welcome back, Bill Michaels Show. We continue this portion of the program being brought to you by our friends at Neumel Medical. Treating guys with ED, erectile dysfunction, all over the state, well beyond the borders. You've been following the advice, you've been getting it done. Going to the Neumel Medical Center. Call them 414-455-4451. They can all but guarantee that they can fix that. 414-455-4451. Also the low T if you're experiencing kind of the mental fatigue, up and down mood, The mental clarity is just not there, or just kind of feeling run down and sluggish. They can help you out with that. And the all-in-one weight loss program jumps. Eventually, it's going to get warm and stay warm. You're going to be in the t-shirt season all season long. And if you want to look good doing it, or at least jumpstart the weight loss program to where people go, oh, boy, in the off-season, you lost some weight. That's nice. You're looking good. Call them. 414-455-4451. 414-455-4451. Talking Brewers baseball. Underappreciated Brewers at this point. And where I just kind of went over a couple of them. And in addition to that, for everybody that says that, and it's got to be a loud, very small minority. But there are some people that just get all over Craig Counsell and the moves. And my question is to why? 855-830-8648. Go to KJ listening to us in West Dallas. KJ, how you doing today, man? What's going on?
Hey, Bill. Welcome back.
What's happening?
Hey, well, everything. Listen, I don't mind what Craig Counsell's doing. He's pushing all the right buttons right now for the Brewers. I'm totally surprised by their output on the road. Very, very impressive. I think the most unappreciated Brewer right now is JJ, Jeremy Jeffress.
Mm-hmm. I would agree because fantastic. Hader's getting all the headlines.
Yeah, Jeffress has been lights out, man. The guy, any spot you put him in, he performs. He's been just stellar, completely stellar, every time he's out there on the mound. I think they need to upgrade at catcher when Manny Pena's in there. He's really good, but when you get, what's his name? I forgot his name already.
Bandy? Jeff Bandy?
Bandy, yeah. Bandy is not good. I mean, he can't hit whatsoever right now. I mean, just horrible. He had a error yesterday. If they can upgrade at catcher, you know, to offset Pena, that would really be great. I think that right now they have a surplus in a lot of places. And, you know, that bullpen obviously is really, really good. Now, if they can get their starting pitching back to the form that we thought they might be at, with Chase coming back and, mm-hmm. you know, and Nelson and everything else, it's going to be awesome, man. I really think they can contend if they get all those people back and, you know, they start continuing to hit the ball and play the same way that they play on the road at home.
Yeah.
They seem to be not as good at home as they are on the road right now,
right.
Bill.
Right. No, I would agree with that. I would completely. I mean, when you look at their home record, 10-9, road record, 18-10. They got a lot of games. Appreciate the phone call. They got a lot of games left at home. 10-9 at home, 28 games on the road, 19 games at home. Long, long homestand coming up. See what they can do. But 10-9 at home, 18-10 on the road. 7-3 in the last 10 ball games. And the Brewers have been playing some really, really good baseball. The 10-game road trip was kind to them. Hopefully they can keep it up at Miller Park. Taking on Arizona tonight, 6:40. Is it 6:40 tonight, Joe? Is that correct? 6:40 tonight is the start time, that goofy start time on a Monday night. Let's go to Tim listening to us in Janesville. Tim, welcome to the program. What's going on, man?
Hey, big unit. How you doing?
Doing well. What's on your mind?
I think it's Aguiar and VR are the underappreciated, but I have a question for you, Bill. In 3 weeks or 4 weeks when Thames comes back, what do you do if Aguiar is still hitting .320 and hitting 2 homers a week?
He's been fantastic.
Well, how do you bench a guy like that?
You don't.
He's actually hitting right-handers, too.
Yeah, you don't. He's been hitting well against everybody. And when Eric Thames comes back, he can obviously continue to give you that threat of pop in the lineup and make that lineup better. But Aguilar right now is a guy that a lot of teams have to sit up and take notice of. And the bottom line is your outfield is set. You're not even missing Ryan Braun at this point. And if you can get Arcia straightened out and even bring up the numbers of Travis Shaw, holy mackerel. Because VR's having a pretty good season. VR has been hitting the ball much, much better than he was last year. I mean, last I checked, he was like 35 points higher than he was last year. Domingo Santana, well, you'd love to see him hit the ball a little bit better. But everybody right now has been, as far as the outfield goes, they've been doing pretty well. And Yelich has been the guy that's been leading that whole thing. So I'm happy with where things are at right now.
I'm ecstatic, Bill. Uh, with, with Yelich and Kane, you can't bet, and then you got Shaw after him, you can't bet your own that year.
Right, right. No, I agree. Appreciate the phone call. By the way, VR now 56 points ahead of where he was last year. 56 points. Hitting .231 last season, .287 so far with a .703 OPS right now. Lorenzo Cain, .270. Christian Yelich hitting .290. Domingo Santana, .254. You'd like to see him bring it up about 25 points. 20, 25 points. Be solid for Domingo Santana. Travis Shaw, not the same year he was having last year. Travis Shaw hitting .244, but with an .819 OPS right now. .819 OPS. So when you look at Travis Shaw and what he did last year for this ball club, he had .273 with an OPS of .862. He could bring that average up 30 points. You'd be just ecstatic. And the fact that if he would do that to get that average up 30 points, he would go on a tear of about .310 for a period of time. That would certainly better this team. 855-830-8648. They would give them a push all the way up to about the All-Star break. Coming up here after the bottom of the hour, Andrew Wagner of the Sports Exchange. We're going to talk to him, a little Bucks and Brewers coming up. Also, I want to remind you that this portion of the program brought to you by our friends at Marshfield Clinic Health System. Care My Way. That's a way to just make a phone call the nurse practitioner if they can help you out right over the phone. Basically, the maximum charge will be $40 depending on your insurance, or if they can't help you, no charge at all. But they can send you a prescription to a pharmacy near you if you're able. If it kind of that algorithm works out, you're good to go. It may save you a trip to the doc. All it is a phone call. Call them 844-CARE-WAY, 844-CARE-WAY, anywhere. 844-CARE-WAY. They'll get you in the system, get a prescription to you, make you feel better that much faster. That's the way they do it at the Marshfield Clinic Health System. Go to marshfieldclinic.org for all the information. Marshfieldclinic.org for all the information. The official healthcare provider of yours truly. Coming up next, Andrew Wagner of the Sports Exchange. Don't forget, after the top of the hour, Mike Budenholzer. That press conference as he's introduced as the new Milwaukee Bucks head coach. You're going to hear that as well. We're going to talk some hockey with Aaron Sims coming up a little bit later on the next hour also. Stay tuned. More of the Bill Michael Show after this.
Border to border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
We are back, and we are glad you are here. The Bill Michaels Show continues. I'm Bill Michaels, Radio Joe across the way. You want to find us on Twitter, it's @Bill_Michaels, @Bill_Michaels, or @Radio Joe Sports. You want to find us, if you're out traveling around, and you're going from station to station on one of the many network stations, and maybe you're out of the area, go to radio.com. That's radio.com. And you can just download that app, search Bill Michaels, and you're going to find us on a station near you. It's that simple. Andrew Wagner of the Sports Exchange now joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. We'll talk a little bit of both Brewers and Bucks. Andrew, how you doing?
I'm doing well. A little wet. What's going on here? What happened to summer? What happened to spring? What happened to nice weather?
Yeah, well, the Farmer's Almanac says it's going to be a hotter than normal summer, so I'm waiting to see if they're going to be right. Usually they're right, so that means if you go by the baseball average of things, then we are due for some 90s that are going to come in and just make us sweltering. So
I better call one of your advertisers and get some AC put into this house pretty quick.
There you go.
Okay. Hey, commercial breaks later in the show.
Let's start off with the press conference today, introducing Budenholzer as the next head coach of the Bucks. Give me your thoughts.
I think that's the hire that everyone kind of expected from day one. As soon as he became available, I think everyone in the league thought this is the marriage that's going to get arranged. And I think it's a good hire. I think he's a smart coach. I think he is the right guy for the job. But again, it all remains to be seen. How will the players react? I mean, he inherited a pretty good roster when he took over in Atlanta and had that amazing debut season, but they were never able to quite recapture that. So, what can he do with the Bucks that Jason Kidd couldn't? What can he do with the Bucks that Joe Prunty couldn't? What is he going to bring to the table in terms of what the Bucks have been missing the last couple of years, and how will he be able to take them to the next step? Those are the questions that I'm curious to hear answered today.
So in bringing him in, the expectation is to take this team to a different level. How many, the bottom line is this, how many wins do you think he's worth?
That part I don't know. I mean, at this point, the logical assumption is the Bucks need to flirt with that magical 50 victory mark. And I think that's something that George Karl always used to say. 50, you win 50 games, you're going to have a special season. And I think that's now a realistic expectation for the Bucks. For all the hubris we've been sold about this team for the last couple of years, own the future, build the future, blah, 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 the future, now has to be the future. Now, you know, there can't be any more looking ahead. Everything has to be a now or never mentality. So I think 50 wins and a trip, you know, at least deep into the playoffs, maybe as far as the Eastern Conference Finals, should be the expectation for this squad.
With that being said, what moves need to be made, or do you think this squad has it within them?
I think there's a lot of moves that they need to make, but can they? I mean, their salary cap position isn't exactly great. I think the first order of business for them has to be figure out what the heck to do with Jabari Parker, because until you settle that, you really can't address any other needs or really identify the other needs on that thing. Jabari kind of is the linchpin going forward because it has nothing to do with his play on the court. It's his financial impact, his salary cap impact will dictate how much flexibility you have elsewhere moving forward. So, I mean, they've got to be tackling that right off the bat, and then you can figure it out. They're going to need a big man. They need a big man more than anything on that roster. They need to figure out if Eric Bledsoe is going to be the guy going forward at point. They need to figure out, what they're going to do for three-point shooting on a regular basis, on a consistent basis. I mean, they have a lot of needs, none of them very glaring, aside from, you know, aforementioned center. But they just – there's nothing about this team – that tells me right now that they're a force to be reckoned with outside of Giannis. I mean, you look at Boston, okay, you know, they've got a whole bunch of role players taking them deep right now, but they've also got, well, they will have Kyrie back. They've got, you know, Terry Rozier. He's playing well. They've got guys that you say, okay, you know what? This is a very good team. Right now it's, you know, Giannis and the Pips at this moment, to go a little Motown for you all.
There you go.
So I don't really quite know yet what this team is and what pieces they have, because let's face it, we've never really seen them at completely full strength at all.
Is Jabari, in your opinion, coming back?
I don't think so. I
really? Okay.
I just don't see it. I don't see it working for him from a financial standpoint. I don't think they have seen enough of him to be convinced that he's worth the kind of investment that it's going to take to keep him around long term and to still have the kind of flexibility they need to do other things. So I think if they found the right opportunity, maybe to do a sign and trade and find ways to acquire the other pieces that they need to take that next step, I think they're going to look at it. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt in the Bucks' minds that Jabari Parker is a great basketball player at all, and that he can play a very major role for them. But the premise has changed since Jabari got hurt the first time. I mean, listen, this whole thing was predicated around Giannis and Jabari leading this team into the promised land, and then Giannis went out and became Giannis, and that kind of threw everything else in the back burner. This is going to be Giannis's team moving forward. So does Jabari really want to play that second fiddle role to Giannis? Does he want to go somewhere? You know, there's so much to it that it seems so simple on the surface, but really it's not. The Bucks are kind of in a complicated position.
Well, you talked about a big man, and I agree with you. I don't think it's just as easy as saying go out and get somebody. Can you, let me ask you this. Does John Horst, in your opinion, have the chops to do that?
That I don't know. I'm still not quite sure, how do I say this, you know, diplomatically? I'm still not sure just how much control John Horst has of this entire situation. You know, I mean, with the way this ownership structure is set up and you know, all the back channel stuff that we've heard in the last year or two, I mean, it just, something doesn't add up. When you look at this and you look at everything that's gone into it in the last year or so, something about this just doesn't add up. John Horst is a great guy, phenomenal guy to talk to, very smart basketball mind, obviously knows what he's doing. But I also think in basketball, the general manager role is kind of diminished compared to in other sports, where I feel like the coach usually does have more of a role, more of an influence in player personnel acquisitions and stuff like that. And the GM's role is more of, okay, you're the numbers guy, go in there, figure out how to make this work in the salary cap, if that makes sense. It's not a knock on him, it's just kind of how it seems to be in basketball. So I'm not really sure just where John Horst kind of fits in the whole decision-making tree. And again, that's not a knock on the guy. It's just that team is an interesting situation from top to bottom.
Talking with Andrew Wagner of the Sports Exchange, and we're going over to Brewers baseball here real quick. So we were just talking about some of the unsungs. You know, you look at Jeremy Jeffress, what he's done. Josh Hader obviously is getting a lot of accolades. And they're doing this right now with a team that isn't clicking on all cylinders. Obviously, Ryan Braun is down. Eric Thames is down. Aguilar's been hitting the hell out of the ball. Pena's not having the season he had last year. Neither is Travis Shaw. So how impressed are you with where this team stands right now with not all the cylinders firing?
I'm really impressed. I mean, that's saying something. And I know people will mock it and say, oh, they're not beating good teams, or they're not doing this, or they're not doing that, or the Cubs haven't heated up yet. But that's exactly what you need to do, is take advantage, just like they did last year. You know, they took advantage of the fact that the Cubs were not playing well. Because, listen, at the end of the day, I mean, Pittsburgh is right there, St. Louis is right there, Milwaukee is on top, the Cubs are right there. On paper, the Cubs are, without a doubt, the most talented team in that division. Absolutely. There's no arguing it. They have the most talent top to bottom of anyone in that division. But they're not playing the way they should right now. And they did the same thing last year. And the Brewers made their bones going out there and winning games when the Cubs weren't. Now, what happened at the end, of course, is the Brewers stopped winning. And the Cubs heated up. So that kind of, to me, is going to be the linchpin of this all. If they can keep winning once the Cubs start heating up, then I think they'll be in good shape. But, yeah, I'm impressed with what they've done so far, because people went into this going, oh, you know, they got a patchwork starting rotation, and, you know, this bullpen is going to – this team is playing great. They're frustrating offensively at times, but, I mean, you can't ask for much more considering what they have to work with and who they're going up against. So I think it's a pretty impressive start so far.
And as far as the pitching rotation, I know people want to see them go out and get somebody, and I'm sitting here listening, and the words keep ringing in my head from David Stern saying, we don't feel like we need to make a move. You're just kind of waiting to see what they have and the cream rise at the top and allow some of this youth to come up and get a few at-bats, and then you might have some trade chips and such to go with along the way. But to me right now, pitching's not the number one concern. To me, more getting Travis Shaw, getting Orlando Arcia back on track, having Domingo Santana pick it up, Pena pick it up a little bit, getting back to where you were and maintaining Yelich and Kane, and getting a healthy Ryan Braun back, and maybe he can give you something. To me, that's the recipe for having a lot of success, isn't it?
I absolutely agree with you. And listen, here's the other thing to keep in mind, and this goes back to the Cubs again. You look at the Cubs and who they have and how long they're signed and whatever. Now, everyone has a window. The Cubs are still in their window. It hasn't closed yet. Eventually, that day of reckoning is going to come when they have to start paying their guys in the next 2 or 3 years. And Chicago doesn't have the free-for-all kind of budget that people think they do. I mean, they do have limitations on it. They're going to have to make some hard choices. I don't think David Stern is willing to go completely all-in, cash all the chips like he did for Sabathia and like he did for Greinke, or like Melvin did for Sabathia and Greinke in 2008 and 2010, because they're still going to be a step below there. And the whole key to this entire rebuild thing was not just to have, you know, a 1 or 2 year run like they did in the past, but to be in this position every single year. And I don't think that the price that pitching will demand is going to be worth the reward long term. They're going to have to give up a lot to get a pitcher, a ton to get a pitcher. And it's not their number one need. Now, that could change. If Jimmy Nelson looks like he's not going to pitch this year, and I don't know if that's a possibility or not. I mean, he had his follow-up last week, but if you read the comments, it was a little off. Depending on how Jimmy Nelson goes, maybe then they look at a pitcher. But this is a team that kind of was figuring, hey, we're going to be picking really high in the draft for the next couple of years. We'll have a boatload of, you know, young talent coming in. They're not going to be picking as high as anymore.
they're not going to have those high draft picks for very highly rated prospects. They've got to be smart with their approach in what kind of assets they deal away for the future, because they still want to be in this thing 5 years down the road, 6 years down the road. Mm-hmm. So it'll be a delicate balance.
Good stuff as always, man. I appreciate it. We will talk again soon. See you at the ballpark.
Always a pleasure, Bill.
All right, buddy. Talk to you soon. There you go. Andrew Wagner of the Sports Exchange joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com, 844-PRIDE, or go to schneiderjobs.com. We appreciate you taking a listen to us. This portion of the program being brought to you by Cousin Subs. And if you want to be a part of a VIP experience, Cousin Subs has it right now. Go to cousinsubs.com/biggiggiveaway, and you can get your best Summerfest experience ever. 11 VIP concert packages, including a couple of tickets, a parking pass, and gift cards, and a whole lot more are up for grabs. Go to cousinsubs.com/biggiggiveaway to experience your best Summerfest ever if you are lucky enough to win it. They are the official sub sandwich of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. More of the Bill Michaels Show next.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back. Bill Michaels Show, we continue. Hey, I want to remind you, a week from today, very special day. We do this, this is our fourth year that we've done this. Normally, you get kind of, you know, best of shows or fill-ins and such on a Memorial Day weekend. On Memorial Day next week, as you know, we took an honor flight recently. And always take a film crew with us. Always do a lot of interviews. And it's going to be basically a remembrance day, and that's what Memorial Day is all about anyway, is remembering those who have fought for us, who have died for us. And this year we had a chance to go on one of the honor flights in which it was all Vietnam veterans, and we had a chance to catch up with numerous vets. And what was really cool was coming out of the Vietnam Memorial was we ended up having a conversation with a bunch of school kids that were actually from Wisconsin that were greeting the Vietnam vets as they came out of the walkway that is the Vietnam Memorial and thanking them for their service. So we got a chance to talk to all these kids as well. So it's a neat day, and if you are going to be out and about next Monday, or even if you're sitting at home and you normally listen to this program, I highly encourage you to do so as we recap the honor flight that we went on just a few weeks ago. And it's always a good day when you get a chance to listen to a lot of these veterans and hear their experiences and their thoughts, specifically coming out of the Vietnam era, which they were woefully underappreciated for a job that was, they were told to do, you know. So you're going to hear a lot of that coming up next Monday. So a week from today, put it on your calendars. It's Memorial Day weekend, and Monday is Memorial Day, and hopefully you get a chance to take a listen. Coming up after the top of the hour, Mike Budenholzer, the new head coach for the Milwaukee Bucks, is going to be introduced. The Bucks press conference, so we're going to carry a lot of that for you and let you hear the Q&A with the media, the back and forth, get your first taste of Mike Budenholzer, and get his thoughts on this team moving forward, because there's a lot riding on this. This is a big hire. It's not just for John Horst, but it's for the organization. They got to get it right, because you don't want to say, okay, we'll give you 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, when in reality it's the wrong hire. And it seems like, for all intents and purposes, that they have done things the right way. They went through an interview process. They apparently interviewed numerous candidates. They honed it down to the guy that they had really kind of liked in the beginning, kept going back to him, finally making that hire. Then they bring him into New York to kind of make everything official. They send him into Milwaukee, where he sits down with some of the primary candidates regarding the Milwaukee Bucks basketball team. Kind of get their stamp of approval, their ownership of all of this, and now you're ready to introduce him to the rest of the fans that are out there. And now you wait and see what other moves, what other subsequent moves are going to be made, and how he is able to take this team, in which, let's be honest, this year was somewhat unsuccessful in the grand scheme of things. I mean, you look at what the Bucks were expected to do. We were hoping for 50 wins. We were hoping that they would get out of the first round of the postseason. Well, they ended up 44-38. And yes, they took Boston to Game 7. Yes, they looked impressive at times this postseason, but like their season, they were consistently inconsistent. So can he raise that level of play, say, 6 games to get them to 50 wins, 7 games, 8 games? Can they get out of the first round of the postseason? I mean, those are the things that are going to be facing him on the immediacy. And after that, how much farther can they go? And how many more personnel decisions can be made in bolstering this lineup? Because we all know they need a shooter or two. We all know they need another big man, an eraser of some type, and a rebounder. So how good is John Horst going to be in maybe working with another team or two or three to get some of these deals and some of these bad contracts moved? Or do they just have to wait it out another season? Do you get the 50 wins next season? Do you get out of the first round of the playoffs next season with the roster that you have? And then you start to make some moves as contracts begin to expire. So that press conference is coming up right around the corner. Also in the next hour, we're going to talk with Aaron Sims. He's the voice of the Milwaukee Admirals, but we're going to talk some NHL hockey because the Golden Knights out of Vegas have been a spectacular story. And we get into that discussion coming up as well. And J.J. Watt, Wisconsin's own, back in the news. We'll get into that discussion as well. Stay tuned. A whole lot more of the Bill Michaels Show coming up right after this.
Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.